Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to have you with us this morning. Perhaps you can turn to God's Word and turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And with the Word of God before us, perhaps we can take a moment and seek the Lord's face in prayer as we come to consider His Word this morning. Our eternal God and Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the privilege that we have of the Sabbath day and of congregating around the Word of God. We thank you that we have the Word of God, our own mother tongue, and we can glean from it, Lord. We pray this morning that as we look at Thy Word, that Thou will bless us. Let me know the presence and the help of God as we consider these few thoughts this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wilt take but of these few little fishes and loaves of bread, and Thou wilt bless it to the multitude this morning, that Thou wilt get for Thyself great glory unto Thy name. Give help required for both the preacher and for the hearer alike. And may all things this morning be done to Thy honour and to Thy glory. Lord, we seek to fellowship with Thee this morning. We desire, O Lord, that we will not leave this house without knowing the presence of God, that our hearts shall be uplifted, and that we shall be further edified and instructed as to what we should be as servants of Thine. We pray, Lord, now that Thou wilt indeed help us. Bless us, we pray. And these things we ask in Thy holy and in Thy precious name. Amen. Amen. So we say, well, to look at the book of 1 Peter. We're taking our reading from chapter 2. And we'll read there the first 5 verses, and then we'll move down to the verse number 9. Chapter 2 and the verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse number 6 as well. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Moving down to verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we'll end the reading there. Now the verse number 9. We have here in the book of Peter a book written to newly saved converts. It was to the Jewish people, those who have been recently saved. And Peter here addresses them on how they ought to conduct themselves as Christians. In chapter 1, we read there, we'll not go down them, but in chapter 1 we read of the various instructions that Peter has given the people. They are taught there about endurance of the believer, of faith, of that which constructs the Christian life. But in chapter number 2, we come to a particular role of the Christian. And the Holy Ghost would draw our attention to the priesthood of the believer. Indeed, we could have put an advert in the paper this morning saying that in the Free Presbyterian Church, they will be dealing with the priesthood of the believer. Of course, we have no intention of defending the priesthood of the Roman Catholic Church. That is not what we are referring to here this morning, but something altogether different. The Holy Ghost would teach us of the priesthood of the believer, of the Christian. That of offering up spiritual sacrifices unto God. In chapter 2, as we said here, sorry folks, I'm just losing my own place here. The Holy Ghost would draw our attention to the priesthood of the believer. That to the Jewish people of that day, when the Holy Ghost would speak to the Jewish people referring to a priest, their mind would have been cast back to the Old Testament. Their minds would have been drawn to the one who done that service in the temple, whereby he would have interceded before God. He'd have took the sacrifices. He would have offered that sacrifice. There was the work of the priest. But there was a tribe of people. The priesthood were those of the family of Aaron. And we read there in the Old Testament. I'll read the verse to you. And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. And thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. That was the work of the priesthood, and the Holy Ghost would draw our attention this morning to that very work, to a group of people who were given over to the service of God, those whose inheritance was not of this world, but was Jesus Christ. When we consider the priesthood, we consider men who were absolutely given over to the work of God. So these newborn Christians, recently come to faith, are pointed to people devoted to the work of God. I present that to you this morning. The Holy Ghost would, through these words, show us it is our requirement as Christians to be absolutely given over to God in the role which we have been given, that of the priesthood. I want to first of all define what this is. Obviously, what we're looking at this morning, I'm not too sure how familiar you are with the term. What we want to look at this morning is the universal priesthood of the believer. That means all who are saved have a particular job to do as a Christian. We are required of God to serve, as it were, as a priest. So first of all, I want to define what that actually is. What is the priesthood of the believer? As we said, the Jewish people have had their minds drawn very promptly to the Old Testament priesthood, the one who would have offered those sacrifices. Now we know that Christ has came. What has he done? He has abolished that priesthood. But in this New Testament era, there is a new priesthood which has been brought in. There is the great high priest which is in heaven. He has abolished the old priesthood that is in the tabernacle. Christ now sits in heaven praying for us. But we also, as men and women, we carry on the priesthood here on earth. We are required as men and women to labor for God, to still continually offer up sacrifices, not sacrifices which atone for sin. Christ alone has accomplished that. But we today, as we see in our text here, we are required to offer up spiritual sacrifices. If you read with me chapter 2 of Peter, in verse number 5, we read these words. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices. This is the work of a New Testament priesthood. The once for all offering for sin, that once for all great sacrifice has been offered by Christ. As men and women today, we are called to offer up a sacrifice continually. And that is what we want to look at this morning. What these sacrifices are. What is it that God's people today are required to do? What is the work of the Christian, as is explained to us here in this text? In verse number 5, first of all we read these words, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. There is the idea here, first of all, men and women, of unity. We're simply defining here what the priesthood is. Christ has already offered that great sacrifice. But as men and women today, we have a work to do as well. We have a labor, we have a sacrifice to offer. We have words here which describe a house being built up together. That there is a unity. That there's a work for each and every one of us to do unitedly as a people of God. What is that work? Let us go and look directly at what the work is here. I want to give you some details of what is involved in this priesthood. To define it is not simply to say, I'll try to keep with me here, folks. This is something that's new to me completely in regard to dealing with this kind of subject. To say that the priesthood of the believer in the New Testament is simply to wake up in the morning and pray for half an hour, pray for half an hour again in the evening, is no fulfilling of what it is to be a priesthood to be in the priesthood for Christ. Our job is that which is continually offering up three things in particular. There's the offering of praise, there's the offering of gifts, and there's the offering of a bodily sacrifice. That is indeed our lives. Please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 4, in the verses number 22 and 23. We have here Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes to speak of this woman from Samaria. As the conversation progresses, we come to the verse number 22 and we read, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Here is the New Testament era. The gifts, the sacrifices of the goats and the sheep in the Old Testament has been done away with. Christ has perfectly fulfilled that which is required. We now come in and through the Lord Jesus Christ as Christians, newly born, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to serve the Lord. First of all, with a gift, as we've seen here, with spiritual gifts. We're not required to give, as it were, animals or anything else. We're required to do something altogether new. To offer up that which is spiritual. That which is perhaps more of the inward part of the heart. Men and women, firstly, we are required as Christians to offer up to the Lord that which is praise, the sacrifice of praise. If you please turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. We have defined here for us what these sacrifices are. Hebrews chapter 13, the verse 15, we read, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Men and women, we are required continually, as this verse shows us, to offer up praise unto God. This is not simply coming to the house of God on the Sabbath day and singing a few hymns. I believe this is altogether more meaningful. We have the words here continually. In verse 15, we are asked here, or we are required to praise God continually. But for those of you who are not, for those of us, I should say, who are not musically gifted, you'll be glad to know this is not a requirement to continually walking around singing all day. I can say this, if you're not musically gifted or able to sing very well, you may sing all you want, and indeed it may bless your own soul, but those around you, my friends, will not be glad of your musical inability, I have to say. The requirement not here is not rather to go by singing continually. It is certainly to praise God. And we read here these words, that it is to be the fruit of our lips. So we are to offer to the Lord something which comes forth out of our mouth. Therefore, in what way can we continually praise the Lord? Let me suggest three things. There is the proclaiming of Christ. There is the worshipping of him in prayer. And there is the praising of God in public worship. First of all, we are required, as it were, to give that sacrifice of praise to God continually. What is the center focus of our services here on the Lord's Day? Certainly there is praise. There is the public worship of the Lord. But there is one who mounts the pulpit week by week, and he proclaims God's holy and precious word, that which is the central focus of these services each and every day, each and every Sabbath day, is proclaiming Christ. Men and women, what is the greatest way of praising the Lord continually? It is proclaiming what Christ can do for sinners in your workplace, in the place of study. It is taking that stand for Christ, proclaiming that there is one who is able and is willing to save. That is how to, first of all, continually praise the Lord. Have your conversation centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your stand for the Lord. This is one of our roles as a priest of Christ, offering that sacrifice of praise, also in the place of prayer, giving continually that worship which is given over to God. We think about the Lord's Prayer. How the first few words are, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." First of all, we are required to come to God in praise. Remember Daniel in the Old Testament? Daniel's prayers are a great example for us all to consider. He was a man when he prayed, in any situation at all you read of in that book, no matter how pressing the situation is, he always spends more time praising the Lord than he does actually considering the situation. We praise the Lord by proclaiming to other people that there is a Savior, proclaiming that there is a great God. We praise the Lord, as it were, in our prayer, and of course in public worship. I want to take a moment or two just to look at public worship, folks. We come to the house of God. We rejoice that we have the songs, the spiritual hymns, which we have to sing. But let me say this. We must sing with very conscious awareness of what we're singing. It is not appropriate in God's house to stand, to simply audibly sing the words which are before you. That is not what is required in praising God and offering that sacrifice of praise. But rather, when we take the hymn book, we stand here to praise God. It is rather taking the words, meditating upon them as you sing them. Be very aware of what you're doing. We are praising the Lord. Therefore, the words which are in the hymn book, be very aware of what you're singing. Let them lay hold upon your heart and bless your soul. That is truly praising, offering up that sacrifice of praise unto God in public worship. Then there is secondly the sacrifice of charity. When I say charity, I mean the loving relationship with other men and women. The sacrifice offered by charity and of gifts. Looking here again at Hebrews chapter 13. Chapter 13, we have read the verse number 15. Moving on to verse number 16. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Here again we have another sacrifice required of God. That of charity, that of good deeds, as it were, to other men. Surely our minds are drawn to that passage of Scripture. We are told to be epistles of Christ, read of all men. As the servants of the living God, we rejoice that there is one who sits in heaven, prays for us, intercedes for us. But as we dwell here on earth, it is our job to offer up sacrifices of praise, to glorify God in that fashion, also to glorify God in what we do towards others, in our good works, in our giving to the necessity of saints. If you turn with me to the book of Romans, we have defined here for us further this work of the believer. Romans chapter 12 and the verse 13. We are considering the sacrifice of good deeds, as it were, or righteous works towards other men. Verse 13 reads, "Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. This is the requirement of God's people, to be an epistle in this sense, to glorify God, to serve the Lord, by doing that which Christ also does. It says here that with these sacrifices of charity, of good works towards men, God is well pleased. Why would He be well pleased with such actions? Well, surely it is a picture of Christ. For we know there is a God in heaven who does that which is good to men. If we are to be epistles of Christ, if we are to show forth the glory of God, if we are to be like Christ, we are to do that which Christ also does. And we have here that example of doing that which is providing that which is necessary for God's people. To be people who are full of love and of charity. To be a godly people. Those who show forth the love of God in our own walk, in our own life, and indeed in what we do. So we have the sacrifice of praise, which we are to offer before God. We have the sacrifice of charity and of gifts. We also have the sacrifice of our own lives. If you turn with me to that well-known passage in Romans 12, as we have before us, in the verse number 1, we read these words, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." I would suggest, out of these three sacrifices which we are considering this morning, here is the chief, and here is the greatest of the three sacrifices. If we are men and women who are willing to offer our lives to God, surely our desire will be to pray, will be to serve the Lord by serving men and women. Our greatest, and I believe chief work in the Christian life, is to give our lives unto God. In these words we read, "I beseech you therefore, brethren." That word "therefore" is referring to the previous 11 chapters. The Apostle Paul has been showing the greatness of God, what the Lord has done for His people, how He has redeemed them, offered that great sacrifice, saved souls as it were. And now Paul comes to this stage, "Therefore, because of this, brethren, give your lives to God. Such the Lord has done for you. Such great privileges you have been given through Christ." Paul here says, "Because of this, brethren, offer up your lives unto God." Men and women, this is truly, as priests of Christ today, here is the key to overcoming sin. Here is the key to truly serving God. It is giving your absolute life to God. It is making Him truly King of your life. Allowing the Lord, as it were, to take full possession of your person, of your life, of all you have to possess. That is how to overcome sin. That, I believe, is one of the chief sacrifices which we can offer to God. That indeed, of our own lives. We haven't spent much time dealing with those three sacrifices. But as we've seen in Peter, Peter has clearly said this is the work of the high priest, of the priest rather, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And that we have considered, those sacrifices of praise, the sacrifice of gifts, and the sacrifice of our own lives. As we have said, the priesthood is not only taking some time in the morning and in the evening to utter up a few prayers. It is a continual work which is done. It is not my desire to dwell on the works of the priest very much this morning regarding the sacrifice, as it were. Men and women, As priests of God, we have one tremendous privilege. Certainly, we know in the Old Testament that the people of God took great delight in the one who would offer up, go into the temple and offer those sacrifices. They have took great delight in the one who entered there. But it was the joy and the great privilege of the high priest to enter straight in to the presence of God. In Psalm 65, in the verse 4, we read these words: "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts." As priests of Christ today, what is the greatest privilege that we possess as God's people? It is that acceptance to go right into the presence of God, to pray and to fellowship with the Lord. Christ indeed, as we have said, men and women, has put away the Old Testament priesthood. How has he done that? By sacrificing himself on the cross. Men and women, what happened there that day when Christ said those final words, "It is finished"? What happened in the temple? You all know well that the veil was rent in twain. God's people now had that opportunity to enter straight into the presence of God. Men and women, that is what we enjoy today. That is the blessedness of being a newborn Christian, of being a believer, entering into the presence of a mighty God. Why? What privileges do we have? Indeed, of entering into the presence of God in prayer. What can we accomplish there? Cast your mind again back to the Old Testament priesthood. I know there is a very clear picture of Christ, but there is also there a picture of what we are ought to do as priests. What did the priest do? He took in the sacrifice. He went into the presence of God. First of all, we know that he offered that sacrifice of the blood. That is how he had the privilege of entering in. As we go to the place of prayer, we can rejoice that we can enter by the merits of Christ's blood. But what did the priest do? He went in there with all the burdens, with all the sins of the people who were yet outside. In a very real way, that priest was a mediator in some sense between God and those who were not able to come in to the holiest place. Men and women, that is our privilege this morning. As priests of Christ, we have that ability to go right into the presence of God and pray for those who are not able yet to enter. I refer even to those who are unsaved. Men and women, take great encouragement. We have the joy of being able to enter into the presence of God and pray for the mercy of God, that we may obtain for others blessing. When the throne of God was opened unto us, I was reading Andrew Murray in this. He said these words, that we were allowed to enter into the presence of God, not only to obtain blessing for ourselves, but to obtain blessings for others. Men and women, this is one of the greatest privileges that we have of being children of God, praying for those who are not yet saved. We can enter in, take the burdens of this world upon us, take the burdens of those who are yet unsaved, of loved ones, of friends who do not yet know Christ. We, men and women, have not only the privilege, but the responsibility as priests of God to enter in and to pray for the Lord to bless indeed our land, for the Lord indeed to deal with those who are yet unsaved. What a privilege we have as men and women. What a life we have set before us whereby we can serve God. It is a wonder that our sacrifices, filled with sin, with iniquity, can be offered to God, for them there to be accepted. We read this morning in 1 Peter that indeed the sacrifices which we offer are offered up through Christ. We have that joy and privilege whereby we can serve God. We have the joy and privilege of being able to enter in to the throne of God and to pray. Men and women, it doesn't matter how weak a believer you are, the Lord Jesus Christ has saved our souls. No matter how weak or how unable our ability may be, we can rejoice that our sacrifices being offered to God are washed and are cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and made acceptable. This is our joy as Christians. This is what I believe Peter here is teaching these newborn believers. Be fervent in serving the Lord. We are high priests. We have a work to do. The study of what the high priest accomplishes, what he does, was only here given to these people to show them what they ought to do. It does not make them a priest. Men and women, let me say this. When we are saved, we instantly become priests of God, servants of the Almighty Jehovah. Therefore, we are required to praise the Lord. We are required to serve Him through our sacrifices of praise, of gifts, and the offering of our lives. For that indeed, as we've seen in Romans, is but only our reasonable service. We are required to serve God by the giving of all that we have, by indeed the giving of our lives, also of that of prayer. This is something which the Christian is destined to do. This is something which the Lord has given us, a work on earth which we now can accomplish. We look forward indeed to that day where we ascend up to glory. We can spend our eternity with Christ. But as Paul said indeed, it may be well, it may be much better for us to be in the presence of God. But indeed it is needful for us to be in the flesh, to serve the Lord today, to glorify His name on earth, to pray, to intercede, that the Lord indeed may bless our land, and that we may offer God through our sacrifices. Men and women, that is all I want to look at this morning. I don't know how familiar you really are with this term, the universal priesthood of the believer. But that is essentially what it is. It is offering up spiritual sacrifices to God. It is that praying on to the Lord, that indeed He may come, and that He may bless us. And we'll end our sermon there this morning. I trust that will be of some blessing to your souls, and the Lord may take these few words and bless them to the glory and to the honour of His name. And we'll bow in a word of prayer. Our eternal God and Heavenly Father, we just bow before Thee, and we thank Thee for the privilege that we have of being given this title of servants of Thine on earth, to take part in this holy priesthood, as it were, for Thine honour and for Thy glory. We ask of Thee, O Lord, that Thou wilt indeed equip us, enable us to serve Thee as we walk before men and women, that we indeed shall be epistles of Christ. Give us thy grace, O Lord, whereby we can freely offer ourselves before Thee. We pray, O Lord, thou wilt indeed be King of our lives. Thou wilt deliver us. Thou wilt help us to serve Thee fully and well. Give us thy grace to separate ourselves from this wicked world and give ourselves unto the service of God. We pray, O Lord, thou wilt accept of our praise this day. We stand, O Lord, we take the hymn books, as we praise Thy name in this form of public worship, that Thou wilt indeed embrace the proclamation of Thy word this day, as we sit around
thine open word. And Lord, we would ask of thee that we indeed will be a people who are well able to intercede at the throne of God. That thou indeed, O Lord, will equip us, enable us to enter into the presence of thyself, and to have power with God. Oh, to be but a praying people. Oh, to be a people who are willing and well able, with a desire on our hearts to take the state of our land, to take our loved ones, and take us burden upon our hearts to pray unto thee, that thou indeed will bless, and thou wilt come and obtain for us mercy. We ask of thee, O Lord, that we indeed will not only be those who pray, but we will be those by whom our instruments, whereby you bless this sin-stricken land. Be with us this day, we pray. Bless us around the word of God. Fellowship with us in thy house. And be with us, we pray. Bless our sister churches, even as they worship this morning. Even pray for our brothers, he comes now to preach the word of God. But thou indeed will enable him. Give him clarity, give him strength and wisdom. And give us even that help and ability to hear thy word. Bless us this day in thy house, we pray. Glorify thy holy and precious name. And these things we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.